And welcome back to the... Oh, that was Bat, sorry. I've seen it all before. And welcome back to the Over the Fence show here on Raglan Commuter Radio, 98.1 FM and Free FM on 89.0 throughout the Waikato. And now we're joined by local MP for Taranaki, the King Country and the Waikato, Barbara Kuriga. Can you hear me all right, Barbara?
Good afternoon. I can hear you very well, thank you.
Excellent. And how you been today, Barbara?
Oh, very good. I'm actually at the Primary Industries Summit with a few hundred farmers. So it's been quite good. We've had a few presentations this morning. It's a two-day conference.
Okay.
I think what's actually happening at the moment is post all of the really strict COVID regulations, this week we've had Silver Fern conferences. We've got a Balanced Farm Environment Award tonight. I've got a Ground Spread conference on Friday and the Young Farmer at the weekend. So I think everybody's kind of doing all the things now that they weren't able to do for quite a long period of time, and the face-to-face stuff is great.
Yeah, I think we had a Matariki celebration here on Sunday, and it was well attended. There was about 500 people there, and yeah, I got the vibe that everyone was just happy to be, you know, out and sort of talking to each other again and you know, being in community, you know.
Nothing beats it. It's actually, I mean, we've had to stay protected for our wellness, but once we're, you know, when we're clear, the best thing we can do is be out talking to each other face to face, because that's what humans do.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I guess to start with, I mean, how's the winter been down Taranaki on farm down there?
Oh, look, it's been relatively good, actually. You know, hasn't really been a cold winter. We've had a couple of cold, wet days, but probably very similar to what persists up in Raglan and all the way through. I mean, I was very pleased to see the Waikato get some rain earlier on, because they were much drier at that end of the electorate than what my farmers were at the Taranaki end of the electorate for quite a substantial period of time. So, yeah, no, look, I think some of the autumn was pretty hard on some of the Waikato farmers, but, yeah, hopefully things are going to set themselves up for a good spring now.
Yeah, no, it was the dustiest May I can ever remember, put it that way. Yeah, all the gravel roads were still kicking up a lot of dust, and it was like pretty much all the way through May, which is unusual. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, well, it went on for a long time, and that's the hard part. You can cope with a dry period for a certain amount of time, and then all of a sudden, if it goes on and on and on, you start asking questions about how much food to buy and how long, or, you know, when do I dry off? All of those sorts of things become pretty difficult issues to solve.
Mm, yeah, well, for sure, yeah. But yeah, no, it's greened up, and I think it's still growing. It's still pretty warm, so I think everyone's smiling a bit more now, all the farmers anyways.
Yes, and they should be. They're doing a good job.
Yep.
We belong to the best industry in the country, right across the farmer and grower sector, and we have really kept the country afloat, and farmers should be proud of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what? Who's all up there at the conference today? Agriculture, horticulture, all sorts?
Right across the board. All of the above. So it's a conference that's run by Federated Farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning we've heard from dairy, we've heard from horticulture, we've heard a bit from meat. We're hearing from people across the board over the next couple of days, and talked a bit of trade as well, and the difficulties of trying to get a good negotiated outcome with the EU. So that's not easy. They're quite protectionist. And while what we've heard this morning is that while we are, it's very important to us, and we're pretty miffed about what dairy and beef got out of it, actually, we don't actually mean that much to them, so it was a pretty hard bargain. I think a lot of the other industries did gain, a reasonable substantial amount out of it, but it is still disappointing for our bigger industries.
Yeah, I mean, maybe give us a rundown of what actually came out of it for these sectors you're talking about.
A quick
rundown, I guess.
Something like 0.1%.
Oh, really? Okay.
For dairy and for beef, so, very small quantities. But, you know, it is a hard market to get into. We thought, I think, after the UK deal that happened earlier on, that, you know, that one was quite good. We thought we might get something a bit more, but it's not easy to negotiate with 26 countries, is my understanding. And I think the biggest issue I have it with it all at the moment is that we shouldn't really be looking at each other as food production enemies, because when we think about what Putin's doing to the Ukraine, and we think about grain prices and fuel prices, food security, energy security. And another 2 billion people that are going to arrive on this planet in the next, you know, however many years. There's a lot that we could do together, actually, and collaborate because, you know, food's going to be all important to the growing world population.
Yeah, yeah, you're quite right there. And it's a tricky one, isn't it, between, trade, you've got to make export money, I guess, but at the same time, we're trying to do the same thing, right? Feed the people.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what it's about. We call ourselves farmers and horticulturalists, but we really are all food producers.
All right, and I'm just got a list of things here I've noticed popping up. I actually had on last week. I was really quite impressed with them too. There was five of them in the studio here, and they were touring around rural schools throughout the Waikato, tertiary students. They were trying to encourage school children into careers in rural health, and they have been up in Onifero, went to Tuako, Tikowhata, and then they came here, and then they were heading down to, I think, Tikwiti and Taupo, I think. I was most impressed with them. The amount of years you've got to spend studying to get anywhere and, to be a doctor, it's a big, big commitment. So, yeah, hats off to them. But it makes me kind of think.
Going around, actually, and trying to encourage students because we need all the rural health support we can get at the moment. And last week in Parliament, we had the launch of Hauora Tai Whenua.
Yes.
So that is a group of the rural doctors, rural nurses, rural support trust. There was virtually nine different entities that said, right, we're going to pull together and we're actually going to lobby to government as one entity instead of a collection of a whole lot of entities to try and give a bit more force on the rural front because, you know, we might be only 750,000 people out of the 5 million, but we are spread from here, there and everywhere. And, I mean, I represent places like Wongamomina that are miles from anywhere. You know, all of those people deserve to have a primary health service as well. You know, we can't always have a doctor in every town, but we can have the nursing support people or, you know, people in schools and things like that. So there's a lot of work to do in the rural space.
Yeah, I mean, how you got any idea of how short the rural sector actually is of doctors and things like that, Barbara?
Oh, look, I don't think we're going to get enough doctors for a very long time. Very short, not only in training them, but having them come into the country of late's a bit difficult as well. Mm. And the people that really do struggle is you get the people come in the country to work for rest homes for the elderly people, and before we know it, they've gone off into the health system. I mean, there's just not enough, and they're moving from one place to the next. And I don't think we're going to have a magic sort of appearance of a whole lot of doctors soon. We need to look at getting as many as we can, training as many as we can. But you get, a lot of nurses who can take care now of the basic work before the doctor even needs to see that person. And then with telehealth, if you do have a doctor, there's an opportunity to talk to specialists through telehealth and things like that before you have to send somebody, you know, 2 or 3 hours to go and see a specialist. So I think we just need to get some of the right constructs in place, value the doctors we have and get more of them, but actually use our health professionals, our nurses and our others to do the things that they are so skilled at doing as well.
Mm. That's if they're not too flat out busy already.
Well, we need more. I think everyone's flat sick busy at the moment. And then, of course, you know, people having time off with COVID, which they rightly need to do, just sort of makes that a bigger problem.
Mm. Yeah. And there's also been quite a bit popping up in the news I've been looking at anyways about more funding coming towards rural health. I think it's Fiona Bolden's been saying a few things about how it was initially left out of the new health sort of thing, wasn't it? But that's changed now, isn't it? Is that right?
Well, we put up a bit of a fight in Parliament because initially it was left out of the legislation. It was sort of like one tiny little mention in amongst a whole lot of other things. And we did put up a fight to the point that Andrew Little put up a supplementary order paper and had rural included as an entity. I don't know that the dollars have yet followed because they're still working through the health plan that goes with it.
Right.
And I'd hope, I saw Fiona the other day in Parliament actually with the Hauora Tai Whenua launch. I'm really hoping the dollars are going to follow the language, we hope.
Okay, so there's still a chance that, that this might not happen then, I take it.
Well, it sure do, and we'll keep putting the pressure on until it does.
Yeah, yeah, because yes, it's, like you say, there's, you know, it's, yeah, sure, they're scattered around everywhere, but hey, you know, everyone needs the same kind of attention, right, at times?
Well, we're all humans, right?
Yeah.
And we all need the same things, it just gets delivered differently, and we just need to, you know, have the right delivery mechanisms, and it's important that we do that.
Mm. Was there anything about kind of mental health initiatives included in that one you're talking about?
Well, it's all part and parcel of it, really, and mental health is mentioned, but I mean the $1.9 billion that was budgeted for about 3 or 4 years ago, I just don't think the progress is really going into it, and it's the good old people like the rural mental health people and, you know, the Rural Support Trust and others who are doing really good work in that space, but often for very little, or, you know, they get a bit of funding from donations, a bit of funding from MPI, and they're doing a lot of the rural work.
Mm.
It needs a lot more focus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And everyone you talk to in the area says pretty much exactly that. Yeah, and it just needs more, more thrown at it, really, you know, just more attention paid to it.
And when we talk about mental health, everyone thinks about facilities, and yes, we do need those for the very serious cases. But at the same time, the more support we have in our rural communities and local communities, the more people we can save from having to go to those facilities, because sometimes if you can actually catch it quickly and get a community focus around individuals, then we can actually stop a lot of it from getting so much worse.
Oh, yeah, it's a classic, yeah, not trying to get in a bit earlier instead of the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff kind of set up,
exactly.
Isn't it? You know? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was talking to another fella a few weeks ago, Carl Stein. He's an organic dairy farmer from Galatea, and he was talking all about this new the carbon trading thing and trees on farms. Do you want to run us through that, Barbara?
Yeah, well, it's nice to talk about another organic dairy farmer, because actually that's what we do in Taranaki. We've got two organic dairy farms down there, so I certainly understand where he's coming from.
Mm.
There's a couple of things going on at the moment. One is Hei Waka Eke Noa,
yes.
And that's a program that's being developed by the agricultural industries, all of them, in the room together to try and, rather than farming going into the ETS,
yeah.
It's actually a farmer, agriculture, horticulture leaders forum where they've created a formula and I guess a toolbox. We're still a little bit short of tools yet,
mm-hmm.
but a toolbox to measure and manage our emissions going forward. And part of that will be the sequestration of some of the native plantings and things that we do as well, which I think it's only fair if a pine tree gets recognition. All of the good indigenous native species that we've all planted in the QE2 block should also get some recognition.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's working through. The government's got till December to decide whether to accept all of it, none of it, or put farming in the ETS, which we hope they won't do, because farmers need to be, rather than a tax in the ETS, if they can pay a levy, which will then be redirected into research, we can help find some of the answers that we're looking for. So that's one half of the equation.
Mm.
The other half of the equation is that the ETS is driving a lot of behaviour at the moment around pine tree planting on good productive farmland.
Yes.
And that's a little bit harder to solve, but it will be solvable because we're dealing with private property rights, so we can't stop that. But up until now, the rules in the Overseas Investment Office have been favourable to forestry over and above other land types, and that's not fair.
Mm.
Should be an even playing field. And I think if we could actually get recognised some of the other plantings we do, there wouldn't be quite the same incentives for people to plant the pine trees. I want to make it really clear that we're not anti-people doing plantation forestry. Milling those trees, we should just be using more of them in New Zealand rather than sort of putting them on ships and sending them out as logs. We should be building houses out of them.
For sure, yep.
But it is that what worries the communities is, particularly over on the east coast of New Zealand, is these people that will come and take advantage of, I guess, our favourability with overseas investment on that front. Plant the trees, walk away and never come back, and they'll just be left there, and there'll either be erosion problems, fire problems, pest problems, all of the above. And so we've got to make sure that they're maintained if they're going to be there. And so there's a lot of work going on there. It's not an easy fix, that one, but we're having lots of discussions around what settings we can put into place to improve that situation.
Yeah, and I think you were working with James Shaw out of the Greens on that one, weren't you?
James Stewart Nash in Labor, he's sort of trying to fix it. We have a few conversations with James Shaw around that, as well as with Heiwaka Eke Noa. Mm. I think when you're starting something from scratch, like Heiwaka Eke Noa, you can sort of build the blocks as you go. When you've got something that's already set in place, like the ETS and the pine tree thing, you kind of got to change the rules, and it makes it a little bit more difficult, especially when you're dealing with people's private property rights, because people are free to sell their land to whoever they wish to sell it to, but we've got to make sure that the right regulatory processes are in place for the people who do buy the land.
Carl was talking about, you know, certain amount of trees. I can't remember what he said. Maybe it was 14 trees per hectare or something like that. So is that going to be kind of how it rolls?
There's a lot of detail that's still being worked out at the moment. So that's a question that's a little bit beyond me, actually.
Okay. not quite there yet.
Because I think there's forestry equations, and then there are people who believe that you can put an umbrella of exotic trees up and actually regenerate all our indigenous species out underneath. Mm. But that's quite variable in the approach as well. So I don't really want to sort of talk trees per hectare, because there's a whole range of things going on.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, well, still in the pipeline getting worked out, that one. Yep. And speaking of things in the pipeline waiting to get worked out, where's the old organic certification bill? Is that passed through any hands yet, or still sitting there?
Every week in Parliament, James Shaw gets up and asks, and Minister O'Connor's office have sent me back to say, no, it's the House, the people who decide what's in the House that make that decision. The House say talk to the Minister. And James and I are just getting battered around from one side to the other. And unfortunately, we haven't seen it come back on the table yet. It was on the bottom of the agenda several times when we did urgency back at the start of the year. And I kept saying to the organic people, it might be this week, it might be this week. But it was always too far down the agenda. And now we don't even see it coming on each weekly plan. So, but James relentlessly every week asks the question and gets fobbed off yet again.
Oh, I suppose that's all we can do, right? Just keep asking the questions. I suppose all we can do. Yeah,
exactly. Well, we've got to put it up eventually. I mean, it's better than most of the legislation that they're putting up anyway. So they should put it up. But that's my opinion.
Yeah. All right. Well, I suppose we'd let you go, get back to your conference. Any last kind of words you want to add, Barbara?
Oh, no, just wishing everyone well, all your listeners well. We do seem to be coming through the COVID, albeit it's still there, but it really is enjoyable being able to get out and about again. So look to meet a few more of them face-to-face in the next couple of years than I have in the last couple.
Fantastic, yep. If you've got nothing else to do, there's a one-off midwinter surfing for farmers happening out at Raglan this weekend too, Barbara.
If you can make it. I'm at Young Farmers in Whangarei this weekend. I'd be pretty keen to come out, because the water's probably not that cold yet.
That's not too bad. I dipped my feet in it the other day, and it wasn't as cold as I expected it to be, so it was quite nice, actually. Yeah.
Well, I hope it goes really well.
Yeah. All right, well, enjoy the thing up Whangarei, and I hope the conference goes well, and look forward to chatting to you again in the next sort of couple of months on air, or whenever you're out in Raglan again.
Great. Good to talk to you. I always enjoy it.
Yeah, thanks very much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it, Barbara. Thank you.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you.
All right. Cheers.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.